welcome to the only video game podcast that is run by someone who thinks he's a professional, but is probably a little bit of an amateur. My name's Adam Cook, and the intro proves the point I've just made. I am your host for this and every week's GodIsAGeek.com podcast. It's the gaming podcast with a difference, because I'm on this one, I'm not on other ones, and also not on other ones is Christopher White.
Hello.
Now, Chris, I normally ask you how you're doing, but I'm not going to ask that, Chris.
Okay, yeah.
Instead, this banter section of the podcast, I'm going to ask you something, but I also need Adam Carroll's opinion on it, and you'll hear Adam Carroll,
yes,
thankfully.
I am.
It'd be strange to ask your opinion were you not here. So welcome, Adam Carroll.
Thank you.
I was thinking that it's 2020, okay?
Still weird to say.
Yep, sure. And we, you know, your name's Adam. My name's Adam, and we sometimes call each other Ad. And I've always said I find it weird when people call me Adam, because no one really does in my real life. Here's the thing: I've been calling Christopher quite a lot on the podcast, right?
You have.
And I was thinking it's time for a rebrand. We got a new logo this year, God is a Geek, and I was thinking it's time for Chris or Christopher to have a rebrand. Okay. I'm going to run this by you.
If this has got anything to do with what you started calling me, and if you think I hadn't noticed.
I wondered if you had noticed in private and in the editorial Slack channel.
I've noticed.
I thought that we could stick with the Christopher, okay, but drop the R, and that makes him Christoph.
Christoph. It sounds like an Assassin's Creed character.
Yes. Hey, I like that. I don't mind that.
Do you see what I'm going with this?
Have I told you my Virgin Media story? This does relate to my name, by the way.
I don't think you have.
Okay, so ever since I signed up to Virgin Media over 10 years ago, I gave my details, and for some reason, they missed the R off my name. So for 10 years, whenever I phone up, they're like, "Hello, Chris Tuffy." They think I'm called Chris Tuffy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not even Christoph. And I've just never bothered to change it, but like...
Does the guy at Virgin also work for Starbucks? Like, is that...
Quite possibly. So Christoph's... I don't mind it. I don't know if it'll catch on, but if you want to make it a thing, I don't mind.
It just seems... Like, listen, you are... The reason we all get on so well is we're all kind of just down to earth, just people who just happen to be friends and happen to like games and have similar interests. So... I don't want to start this podcast by saying, "Hey, we're all kind of boring," because that's not it. We're not boring, but just Christoph or Christoph sort of sounds exotic and kind of
yeah.
I think it just sounds romantic.
I just think if you introduce someone like, so me and Chris are together down the pub, and a friend of mine comes in and he doesn't know Chris, and it's like, in fact, Adam, let's role play this, right?
Yeah.
You two are my mutuals, but okay. You don't know each other, okay? And here's the thing: I'm going to introduce Chris, mm-hmm. and then when you say hello to him, you're not going to expect his accent. So, I don't think you two have met. This is Christoph.
Bonjour.
And I'm just hi, Christoph. How are you?
Très bien.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, but you're still saying it in a Derby accent.
Très bien. J'habite en Montpellier.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see if this is going to catch on. Chris, what I'm getting at really deep down is that all of this, the whole 4-minute banter introduction, kind of feels like some sort of weird LSD dream, doesn't it? Like some kind of fuzzy, colourful, bright dream.
Sure
almost.
Does. Yeah.
And that, motherfuckers, is why I am the king of this podcast, because you don't get segues like that anywhere else.
That is a fucking segue, mate. Built up over time, and it was just delivered gloriously.
But do you know what the best thing about it is? None of it planned. Every bit of that.
That's why you're a comedy
off
genius.
Off the cuff. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say genius nor comedy. But Chris, you have reviewed Dreams, and you gave it a 10 out of 10.
I did.
10 out of 10.
Yep.
Here's the interesting thing. Normally, I introduce a game and I'll say, "Chris, you've played it, you reviewed it." But I want to hijack this, Chris.
Go for it.
I had a moment with Dreams, and it's going to lead into your thoughts on Dreams. So I was, I've played it like at relative varying stages of sort of the early access period, which is weird because PlayStation don't do early access except for when they do. And I thought this, similar to yourself, incredible. So much insane stuff happening in this just mad wonder of a game. But I think I spoke last week on the podcast where I said nothing was sort of sticking. Like, all the creations were impressive in a way, but they weren't sticking with me. I wasn't getting that one creation that made me go, I get it now. And so, behind the scenes, you know, you were writing the review, I was putting some the video footage together, and I did the voiceover for the video review. And it was during the capture process that I came across a level or creation. And there was, first of all, I played like a Marble Madness one where you're basically controlling a marble going down through puzzles, and it was just really responsive. I was like, oh, hang on, this can be done. But it was a Stardew Valley sort of homage, shall we say, that really took my breath away. Because I'm watching this long, lengthy introduction and going, Jesus, man, the trouble with this is it's like Little Big Planet. I'm never going to do this. This looks like it took ages. And I sort of carried on watching. And then I sort of, my internal monologue again was like, yeah, but they did it. Someone did it. Someone took that time. Someone actually did that. And it was like someone flipped a switch. It was like, I'm on board. This is insane. It is insane, Chris, what is achievable in Media Molecule and Sony's dreams.
Absolutely, man. Because I was like you, I've dipped in and out since launch. Obviously spent more time with it recently.
You dipped your wick.
I have, mate, yeah. Deep. And the kind of incredible thing is that there's so many different games that the community have created, which obviously they never made Dreams, so I wasn't reviewing the creations as such, but what I am you have to take into account is that every single detail, the way everything moves, the way everything looks, the shading, the lighting, the colours, the way you would, when you go in to create, you go in and you, say I want to make a pirate, for example, you go in and you take a sphere, and you can increase the shape of it. You add eyes into it by creating two other spheres, and then some ears with other shapes, and you can meld them together so it kind of all fits together. And then you can alter the. It's called sculpturing in the game. You sculpture the ears out of two circles, two spheres. You do everything. So by the end of it, if you're good enough, and which some people certainly are, they've created a lifelike looking human being face, like a pirate. Or there was one on show today which made me think of the pirates, that someone has made this sculpture of one. And the red coat with all the ruffles in, the mustache and beard, the hat with a pirate skull on, that's someone spent time doing that, and that's crazy. And there's
you were at the launch event today, weren't you? I was just going to say, for people wondering.
Yes.
But so I suppose, actually, I have interest. Have you seen much of the stuff on social media about the game today yourself? Have you seen the PlayStation Access, what they've done?
I haven't seen anything, no.
So this is an interesting thing. I don't know why. Again, my own imagination clearly is not on the same level, perhaps, but I saw that what they did is they created the sort of PlayStation Access set and the people. And of course, because you can record voiceover, they did like a little mini episode of in game, and it just never occurred to me you could do that.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
We could make this podcast into, I mean, it would be a bloody hard thing to do, but
yeah,
but nothing easy, nothing good is ever easy, as they say.
No, but that's the thing. The only limit is your. That's a really cliched thing to say, but the only limit is your imagination.
True.
There's another thing I saw today, which I'd not seen on the in the community, Dream Surfing, which is the name given to where you go and look for different projects, different art and animation, and all this. There's something called Seven Doll Machina, and it's a short animation which you move this character through, and they've literally created a city. It's not an open world city, it's just a small piece of a city, but the buildings look incredibly detailed, the road that goes through it, the sky, the trees, the everything. And there's then all of a sudden this massive mech bursts through, bombs start dropping, the buildings start exploding, and it's like an action movie, and someone's made this, and that is crazy. And when you know how the animations work and how people move, just detailing that alone is ridiculous. like the amount of you have to connect joints up for their arms to move and their legs to move, and you can if you create like a non-playable, like I don't know, there's a dog running around, you can obviously create the dog out of the shapes and do the color and the different effects, like to give it like fur, and then you can create short animations, which it's like a loop system, and you can trim it and cut it to make sure that, so basically say I create an animation and it lasts 10 seconds. In those 10 seconds, I can move the dog around, and then however I've done it, I can then have that in game. So when I play it, that animation will just start and it'll just be running around and it will look like just a, like he's just a normal dog. It's like, it's crazy. Like, and there's so many like the thing is, it's not like Mario Paint, like where you can create music and it's limited.
Not even like Mario Maker, is it?
No, it's on another level. Like, it really is on another level.
So here's a question for you, because you have spent more time with it than me. I mean, obviously you haven't done this, but that's why I'm asking. In theory, I've talked before, and we've both mentioned about like the collaborative process of dreams. Like you say, you can create something that you're never going to make a game, but someone could use that creation in their game.
Yeah.
You could literally say, hey, Adam, you've got a smooth voice. Could you record some dialogue for my game in Dreams? I'm talking to the other Adam, not me, by the way. I would never be so arrogant as to say such a thing. But could you, in theory, and again, hypothetically, create almost Dreams-based development teams?
Absolutely.
Where you could, right? Because if you can share... You could, if you got someone who's like can create music, because you can actually create music in this game. One of our listeners, we call him Ted Benson's, but it's Jim, isn't it? He actually does a lot of that. I don't know if you've seen any of his stuff, but if you surf his stuff, it's tunes. He like does drum and bass stuff, electronica. That's all done within Dreams. Like, not, I don't mean he's recorded it and put it in Dreams. You can do that, but he's created it in Dreams. So you could have like here's your audio guy, here's your level design guy, here's your art guy, and you could collaborate together as like, you know, we are a team within Dreams.
Yeah.
The dream team.
Oh, wow.
Banging.
I think good. Fuck you lot.
I just want to say there that this game has just kind of been on the go, like, and in people's views for quite some time now, and I've always been like kind of unsure. I'm like, is this game out? Is this game coming out?
It will be by the time people hear this properly. Exactly, out. Yeah.
And like, reviews have dropped and stuff, and people are extremely positive on it, including ourselves, where Chris has given it 10 out of 10, and it seems well deserved by the sounds of it. Because personally, for me, I don't have I wouldn't say patience, but I just don't have the time to do this.
It's a lot.
And I just don't have the time for it. But I think, like, what's so impressive already from my point of view, and I haven't even gone near it, I see everyone's creations. I've seen a couple of things. I'm like, fucking hell, what? Like, where's this game's limits? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing about that, right, is that I don't think this game is going to replace Death Stranding. It isn't going to replace your Assassin's Creed Odysseys. Do you know what I mean? It isn't going to replace that stuff. Because the games aren't hours and hours long. I mean, I know the Media Molecule, like, main story one is like a couple of hours, but generally speaking, these are like puzzle games.
Yeah.
Like, one in the video review I used where you're running around just smashing the hell out of a museum. Like, but what I did find myself, and I know, given the score Chris gave it, what I found myself doing, and I'm sure him too, I found myself picking up and just playing, literally dream surfing, and just finding myself thinking, I could just keep doing this. I could just keep doing this. You know, it's like, crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I feel that when it was first ever announced and the idea was there, I was there going, all right, we'll see how this goes. Like, you know, whatever, I suppose. But this must be Media Molecule's kind of biggest achievement. It has to be. Like, there is no game like this, is there?
Like, well, not going to say, okay, so do you know what another thing this game's been making me think of a lot recently, and I'm going to say this, and either you're going to go, what was that? Or, oh shit, yeah. Do you know what this has been making me think of? Do you remember Project Spark?
Yes.
Microsoft's kind of this.
I'm just going to goggle there and I want to have a look at this.
So Project Spark, if I remember correctly, was by...
Oh, shit, I do.
You do? Yeah?
Yeah, and I remember this.
And it was game creation tool that they shuttered in the end. It was, yes. It was announced during, I think, it was 2013 or 2014. It was ages ago. And there was like an open beta for years. And then in like 2016, I think, they shut it down.
Okay.
And that's... I mean, they're not the same thing. But I was just left thinking, us included, everyone's making a huge fuss about Dream, and rightly so, because it's incredible. But I was just kept thinking about Project Spark and thinking, wow, you know, the people who worked on that really must be thinking, there but for the grace of God go we, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's amazing as well that, like, you know, you think a game like this and the concept that they're going for, that... like with it coming out, the reviews and stuff would be, yeah, it's cool, it's a cool idea, but maybe Dreams 2 might fix all these things. It seems like they just went boom,
but there's nothing to fix, really.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And
if eventually the curation tools get muddied, they can patch that stuff. They can, I mean, they have, like, I you know, when I first played it, the difference between how, like, just the menus, the actual, like, I want to surf for the games, just that changed from then, like, that first early access week to now, has changed.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure with the, well, it actually wasn't 1.0, but with the kind of release build, they added one thing that I actually found annoying was that you had to control everything using motion. And unless it was just that I only got the notification because it was like the patch was kind of a, right, look, they even say, look, you're going to have to go through this tutorial again. It's only a brief one, but in that tutorial, it actually tells you can change the controls to be not motion controlled. And I was like, well, if I was neither not told this or this has been patched in, but either way, that was like the only complaint I had was like...
That's amazing.
You know, yeah, like, that was never mentioned before. That is definitely new to the new build. Like, it's giving you the option of choosing the move controllers, motion
that kind
controllers.
Of sums up the whole game.
Yeah,
the option.
I was just going to say, sorry. The Mick said it on our Slack channel about he would have bought the game just for the Media Molecules story.
Yeah, Arc thingy.
Arc stream. Yeah. So, like,
yeah, that looks great.
The thing is, right, you've got so many games that are an hour and a half long, 2 hours long, that have got 9 out of 10s, 10 out of 10s, and they're obviously a lot cheaper, but just for the Arc Stream, like, the game itself is incredible, like what has been done in it, but the fact that makes it even better is that it was all done in Dreams, like they've literally made this game in Dreams.
That's
and
so cool.
It's fucking incredible, like what they do and how they do it and the way it all works together, like it's so surreal. It's some mix of all these different types of game genres. It's a story that makes no sense in the beginning but comes together all, like, as you play through it. Like, it starts off telling you he's like a former bass player in a jazz band. He's fell out with all his friends. You don't really know why. Then he starts talking about his childhood where he played with these toys and then you get to control these toys. One of them's a fox. There's a... I can't remember what it was. Like a bear with a hammer. And then there's like a robot.
It was like a robot, yeah.
And then there's another robot in the game later on. And then you fight this thing that looks like something from Sea of Solitude. It's like, it's called Thornbeak. It's like a crow with like red eyes. And it's more than just a story about a man and his toys. Like, it's about like separation and anxiety and friendship and community, and the community section kind of feeds into what the game itself is about, is the fact that if I make a quality video game with a character that looks amazing, Adam can then get the character that I've made and put him in a game that he's made, which is equally incredible. Yeah. Or
that can be like, you've made a first-person shooter and now I'm turning it into an RPG.
Yeah, and that's like, that's the thing, anything. Like, you say that game you played, like, in the video with the museum, like, that's a first-person. But then I played another...
That was another moment, by the way, when I realised, oh, because I think I said before, I was worried about how floaty stuff felt. When I played that, I realised, oh, this can actually do this as well.
Yeah, I mean,
just fine.
But I mean, like ArtStream, the platforming is it reminded me a lot of Astrobot. That's what it kind of made me think of and how good that was. But
Tearaway Unfolded, or just Tearaway, was an incredible game.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I do wonder if people are forgetting that Media Molecule do make really good games. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
I think going forward as well, just it's very exciting to see how the VR will turn out and like down the line. Because don't they have like this whole 10-year plan?
Well, I mean, it's so late in the cycle, this must be a PS5 game. In fact, I think they've said it's going to be a PS5 game. So,
well, I think it'll just be straight, like the PS5 is going to be able to play PS4 games. I don't know how, like, I think Dreams will just be one of those things you just, the disc, I don't know if they'll have to release it at PS5.
Well, we'll find out, I suppose.
Yeah, but incredibly exciting future for this game already.
Yeah, it's amazing. Very, very well done.
First 10 out of 10 of the year?
Technically first new game that's a 10 out of 10. We gave Iceborne on PC, the expansion, a 10 out of 10. Okay. Technically, you know, it's an add-on, whereas this is a full game. But you know what I mean. It's technically the first 10 out of 10 of the year, I consider. But moving away from Dreams, there are lots of thoughts. You could, like, say, read Chris's review, watch the video. We've done Let's Plays of it. And we probably will carry on doing that. So just worth saying, if you are just a podcast listener and you don't like read the site or listen to watch videos, sorry, on YouTube, that's fine. We're happy for you to consume godisageek.com any way you choose. But worth mentioning, godisageek.com is on YouTube, youtube.com/godisageek. Just search for YouTube and then put our site name in. And I did a little like Let's Play of the Early Access build. What I said is that is to tell us what you would want us to look for or search for, and we can make a video on that part too. So it's just worth reminding people of that. Chris, Christoph, I'm going to shock our listeners to the very core.
Okay.
And tell them that you, one of the people who loved Nier Automata, one of the people who have loved Platinum Games, had never played Vanquish.
Before anyone judges me, just remember all the joy I've brought to you over the years. Don't be too mean to me.
But I said had never played Vanquish.
Yes. Oh, yes. And now...
You have now.
I have. And I am in love with it.
But before we go too far, Adam, well, I think you've just answered. Yeah. I was going to say, you've played it, right?
You just ejaculated on mic, so...
Yes, yeah. I love Vanquish.
Vanquish... Well, Chris hasn't finished it, so we're not going to say too much.
Mm-hmm.
That game needs a sequel, and it needs a sequel that's longer than that first game. But Chris, you have now played some of Vanquish.
The first boss I've played. So I know it's only like 5 or 6 hours long, so that's all good for me. But
do you know that first boss, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this game will always hold a very, very special place in my heart, right? Because the very first preview event I ever went to was a Sega showcase, right? And the only two games I truly remember from that was, one, I played Virtua Tennis in 3D with 3D goggles on and Move Wand on PS3. And I was like, this is the future. I'm playing tennis in a video game, but I'm actually playing it. But the other thing was that boss fight in Vanquish. And, well, Chris, take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, like from the very start, you just... The thing I love about that tutorial is it's so quick. It doesn't really take a long time to get used to what you need to do.
But games didn't then, man.
No,
games
I know,
didn't.
Yeah.
They just were like, play me.
It was like, this is what you need to do to move. This is what you need to do to shoot. Here's some special abilities. Off you go. So instantly, I'm in love with the sliding option. Like,
so good.
That's incredible,
man,
right?
So good.
And then, never stop.
And then
never
when
stop.
you mix that in. So like with this boss fight, so it's this big mech and he's firing all kinds of shit at you. And you're dodging along that platform. You can jump between those two big guns or you could just shoot it with your own things. Obviously, you've got to take out specific points on its body to weaken it to give you a shot at that big red thing on its head. So you're sliding away from the from him shooting you, and then you, if you run out your power slide, you can press X and left to evade, and then you tap the L2, I think, and then you get to do like the slow motion firing. It's like a little bit of bullet time mixed in with the chaos, and it, like, it all works together so well. And the fact that you could just flick between the guns with the D-pad and choose your heavy, your machine gun, your shotgun, and your grenades at the very start of the game, because obviously you'll get different weapons, I'm assuming. But just with that whole boss fight, it's, it only takes like 4 or 5 minutes, but it's just so intense. And like the waves of enemies just before that, You're just thrust into the action, and it's just chaotic, but not in a way where, like, I think something Platinum does very well with their fighting is, as mental as it looks to watch, you feel very much like you're in control, complete control when you play it. And that's this for a game that's 10 years old, and it's got that kind of control and that versatility in the combat. Like, it's incredible. Like, really enjoying it. And I kind of assumed
genuinely
I would,
think,
but...
by the way, Adam, I don't know if Adam will remember this, Chris, you will, because you've just played it. When you sort of get past the first phase of that boss, it, like, fires off some rockets at you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
but saying some rockets, I still think in 2020 that's bloody impressive, you know?
Yeah, man.
Like, there's, like...
There's so much like going on.
I'd like to say, I'd say thousands of rockets are flying. Yeah. Like, I think there's maybe some clever sort of sleight of hand going on, because they don't all land, but they certainly on screen.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I genuinely think in 2020, like I think what I said, I didn't want to sort of like Adam, you know, because you've played the game, and now Chris has too, but you played a long time ago. I didn't want to sort of, I said, because Mick Fraser, by the way, calling him out, also hasn't played this. And I said to them, I genuinely believe that you'll play this and feel like, wow, like, yes, games like Titanfall 2, yes, games like Doom, they get into that same, you know what I mean? They drill into that same feeling that Vanquish has, I think.
Yeah. Like, Vanquish, Vanquish has been, like, I think it's criminally underrated, and... like getting this light again is great. I'm delighted it's happening. I'm kind of like okay about it being put aside like Bayonetta. I'm like, all right, look, we've had Bayonetta a few times now, okay, we don't need this, let's just focus.
Well, Adam,
yes,
next week's podcast we'll probably address this, but Chris has never played Bayonetta either.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Chris, this is the ultimate package.
I know it
is. So,
this is the ultimate package.
This is what I've been leading to, though. This is what I've been leading to, right? So, Chris already liked Platinum. Like, you remember, okay, he was one of the ones with all of us that were like Nier Automata, one of the best games. I think we were all like one of the best games of the year that year.
Yeah.
So, imagine already liking that developer.
Oh, my God.
Then someone going, here's Bayonetta and Vanquish. Oh, you've never played them. Yeah. Enjoy. See what you think.
Things like Metal Gear Rising, was it?
Yeah, Revengeance.
Sorry. Like, I love that. Like, that's another game by Platinum that I thoroughly enjoyed, like, just because it did different things. And Astral Chain. Like, I'm just...
Yes.
I've seen it pop up all the time, but it's just... It's like a certain game, like Bioshock. I just don't get around to playing certain games. And and these two, now they are coming to the PS4. Like, it's a nice surprise, nice treat.
So next week we'll hear about Chris's first impressions. Can you imagine first impressions of Bayonetta?
I think that, that's insane. So I just say, if you haven't played either of these games, this is an absolutely amazing package. I just want to say as well, like, what Vanquish does so well and stands out within the Platinum Games like catalog, is, I think, like, the people go on about the length of it and stuff as well. The length of it is absolutely perfect for what this game does, for everything it does, because Platinum obviously went, look, we want this game to look the way it looks, and it has this cool look. I think it still looks great, and there's something about it that just pops out. But it's mainly all about bullets and sliding, and that's really the gist of it. And it gets to a point where, like, I'd say within the last, like, it's constantly ridiculous, but like, I think the last hour or so, it just goes so crazy, and you literally just have minutes of sliding. Like, just you're just going all around, and it's like driving a little car or something ever, and it just never takes it away from you, and you're just like, this is all I want, this is all I need. Thank you, Platinum. This is great. Why isn't everyone talking about it? Because if you get a rush from things, as you said, Ed, like Doom and stuff, this is an absolute no-brainer. If you just want a pure and utter adrenaline rush, Vanquish is your game. And for the love of God, if people haven't played it, they should play it now with this package. And I hope that if it does well, that we might see a sequel from Platinum. Because I think what they could put into a sequel, just keep it the same concept, obviously, but just make it more absolutely insane.
I'm also 90% sure that pretty early on in that game, the kind of big Gears of War looking dude, the sergeant or whatever, calls you Dick Lips. or something like that. It's something a game that gives no... A bit like Kamiya, like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about what you think he's going to make that game. So we'll have a video on this new
game.
Version. Well, new version, this, you know, the PS4 version, we'll have a video on that and Bayonetta when the time comes. But Chris, that's not all we've been playing, and we won't spend a long time on it, but you and I think Adam's played it as well, Valfaris.
Yep.
We sort of missed this late last year, and wow.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. This is another, like, you just jump in, blow shit up.
It's 2D Doom.
Have fun.
It's 2D Doom.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Like, everything about this game is just cool. Like, the music is amazing. It's written by an actual, like, heavy metal guitarist from a band called Celtic Frost, and the aesthetic, like the pixelated 16 kind of bit, like hellscape, like, it is very much Doom. Like, there's a load of different, like, monsters and demons or whatever they're called. You get to blow them up with all these different kinds of weapons that range from, like, your blade, which can become a bigger blade and have different capabilities, to like cannons and lasers and all kinds of shit, which there's a mild RPG element to it, where you can upgrade them with blood metal, which you can find throughout the game. But it's essentially you just going through a level, blowing things up. It's a fun little platformer that can be very challenging at times, but you get into a rhythm. You get into a rhythm, and it's the kind of load points are, sorry, save point, the distance between the save points are quite close, and when you do die, you're kind of straight back into the action. There's no waiting around, so it has that kind of addictive appeal as well, where you're not put off by dying all
really,
the time.
It really made me feel like, it really, really reminded me of Doom 2016. Like, it really did, because, like, when the boss battles come, normally, like, I think we've become quite conditioned to expecting Souls-like in games now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think when you get a boss battle, you expect it to be a Souls boss. It's like, right, I have to die 30 times and learn the patterns. Whereas this game, because it was kind of, let's say, it gave me Doom vibes, I was just like, you're fucking having it, mate. You are having it. And you would die a few times, but you would... I feel like you... The thing about Doom, the thing about Doom 2016, and I suspect Eternal, that makes them so good, is that they don't allow you to play any other way than the fun way. It demands you are aggressive. Like, if you, and I've read a few bits and pieces that suggest that there's an enemy in Doom Eternal, that if you hide behind cover and try and do it that way, they throw a load of grenades at you to flush you out. Like, Doom is at its best when you have to be aggressive, get in their face and get up, you know,
Rip and tear. Yeah.
And I feel like Valfaris is similar. Like, in those bosses come along, like, the wasp boss, Adam, did you get as far as, like, the wasp boss?
Yeah.
Like, that wasp boss is like, it initially you're like, oh, but I'm, straight away I was like, no, I've been playing this game one way and I'm going to keep playing it. And I was just like, you are getting a shotgun right up here, and I am going to get in there and smack you in the face because I want to recharge this stuff. And it's like that. I really like Valfaris, and I'm playing on Switch, and it's really comfortable on there.
I think I've been, like, enjoying it. I think it's I love the music. I love all those kind of, like, Doom nods and stuff, and I think it looks great, and it's very violent. I do have to say that I think, like, its difficulty at times is a bit out there. I think, like, the controls sometimes just are not as tight as you want them to be.
I don't think many games work when you have to hold a button, a trigger to aim.
Man, yeah, at that, at, Exactly. Doing that at the rate that enemies and bullets are coming at you, it's kind of like, oh, Jesus. And you die quickly in this game. That's only like my real gripe, because there's a couple of occasions I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm just dying over and over and over and over. But then, like, when you get through it, obviously, it's like, all right, cool. And then you get about 5 minutes in, you're like, all right, now I'm dying again over and over and over. But it's a really cool game.
But even that, the checkpoint system is quite clever in that you can collect what are they called? I can't remember what they're called, but you collect a thing that lets you save, like unlock a checkpoint. But you can ignore them, and you can carry like initially up to 3, then 4, I think then 5, and I'm guessing it goes up. I haven't finished it. But by not using them, it increases your health pool and your magic, your sort of energy pool. So I did find one early on that was like clearly a secret one. So I'm almost always got one spare, because they tend to put them pretty near the checkpoint so you're not struggling. But even that's quite clever. I'm desperate for Doom Eternal, and this is just exactly that kind of thing.
It also never gets old when he gets a new weapon and you get the little mosh animation. It's just fantastic. It's a really cool little game.
I don't know if it's just me, but don't get me wrong. I love the big blockbusters. I love I said it before, the Assassin's Creed's. You know, I love these huge, deep games that you slowly invest time in. But whether it's age, time, life, I'm finding myself gravitating towards more like the Vanquishers, the Dooms, the Valfarises, and the Dreams, which don't require so much investment, where you can just turn on, tune in, cop out kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like.
Potter around,
I just want to quickly like if people are listening to this and going, oh cool, Valfaris, I'm going to check that out, whatever, I still want to throw the nod to Blasphemous, last year's release, because there has been a ton of Metroidvania games, I know, and we can get a bit like flooded with them and stuff, but like I truly do think Blasphemous is one of the best ones I've played in quite some time, and it has this kind of like, I think all of these new Metroidvania games that are coming out are going for that hyper violent aesthetic, and I welcome it. I think it looks brilliant anyway. I just love all that kind of stuff. So like, if you're into Valfaris, support Blasphemous as well, because I think these devs are delivering some really cool stuff, and they're just influenced by the games, the big giant ones that we all love. So I do think this is, both of them are worth checking out.
I would also just briefly say, before you rush out and buy Valfaris, check Game Pass, because I have a funny feeling it may have been on there or is on there. Just check. We're going to get to some listener correspondence, but I just wanted to quickly, I felt like I should just quickly give a shout out to Darksiders Genesis, because that game came out in December, but it was on PC and Stadia only, and I'm aware that probably a large proportion of our listeners are console gamers. I know we got a lot of PC gamers as well, but I know a lot of people listen to this who like Darksiders. I've played the sort of opening hour of Darksiders Genesis. You can see the video review and read the review on godisgeek.com by Mick Fraser, who reviewed the PC version. We also will be reviewing the Switch version. If you're a Patreon, you won't have seen that yet. There's a chance that by the time this goes live on Wednesday for everyone, that review might actually be up as well. But we can't comment on that just yet. But the PS4 version is fine. And I don't mean that in like it's fine. It's the game. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing. I can't come here and say, oh well, this is shit and that's it's the game. It's obviously any time a PS4 version is going to run smoother. Chris, have you had a chance to play this yet? I know you were going to.
I haven't. I've been quite busy with other stuff, but I still definitely want to play it. It looks amazing.
It's one of those games where I didn't finish it on PC, and I started playing it on PS4 again. I was like, why didn't I finish this? This is really fun. There's a lot to it. It's really nice. It scratches the Diablo itch nicely. Still looking forward to eventually finding some time to play more. Still expect probably most people want to know what the Switch version is like. We didn't get pre-release access to that, but by the time you hear this, we will have been playing it, and we will give you a Switch report. And if we get time, next week's podcast, hopefully we can report back on there. If I haven't played it, I can find out which one of our team has. And there you go. Darksiders Genesis. Don't forget it. It's still a good game. It's still good on PS4. I don't know about Xbox One, but I suspect it's fine. Darksiders Genesis, still a good game. And it sounds like I'm doing it, I feel like I'm doing it dirty, but I don't mean to. It's just, I don't know. It's out now on console. It's still a good game. Listener correspondence time. Adam Carroll.
All right.
You have been banished to a desert island.
Aw.
Sorry. I don't make the rules. I enforce them. Okay. But you have to take one of these songs with you to listen to it 50 times per day.
Oh, Jesus.
The songs you must pick from. Fast Food Song by the Fast Food Rockers. Witch Doctor by the Cartoons. Or Them Girls by Zig and Zag. For those who don't know, Zig and Zag were on Breakfast TV, weren't they?
Sure, were they on the Breakfast.
Yeah,
Big they
breakfast.
Were on The Den.
Possibly. I don't know what that is.
Oh, The Den was the Irish thing. It was an Irish it was an Irish kind of kids TV show that used to be on like after school. It used to have the likes of Ray D'Arcy was an Irish presenter, and it would just be him sitting at a table, and Zig and Zag were there, and they'd be presenting and stuff, and Dustin the Turkey and Snotzer and these people, these puppets, and it was all a thing, and I watched loads of it. Fast Food Rockers, Fast Food Song. I don't know what that is.
Oh, mate, do you not?
I don't know what that
isn't
is.
That
and I say
horrible. It's horrible.
So I don't know what that is, and I don't know what Witch Doctor by the Cartoons
McDonald's,
is.
McDonald's fried Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. And what's Witch Doctor?
Ting
tang.
Oh, my God. Ting tang. Walla walla bing bang.
Ting tang. Walla walla bang bang. Yeah, I'm going. Them Girls by Zig and Zag.
They love me. They love me. Them Girls, they love me. Yeah, that was
bang on. Bang
on. That's not good either.
Yeah, but still, it's the best of the three, surely.
Yeah, I would listen to that. At least it had a beat to it. A sick beat.
But 50 times per day, though. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
Are we all in agreement? It's Zig and Zag.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Oh, well, right, fine. Christoph, you are allowed, this is not legally binding, by the way, you are allowed a month off from God is a Geek podcasting duties. But you have to enlist a team of celebrity. Oh, we're all allowed a month off. Okay, this is legally binding. Well, you are all allowed a month off from God is a Geek podcasting duties, but you have to enlist a team of celebrities to stand in for you. Who do you pick to do a similar, but crucially not better job than you?
I would like to replace myself with Jack Black. I would love Jack Black to be on the pod.
Yeah, but with all due respect, you don't think he would do a better job than all three of us?
No.
Like, not just you, you don't think... Okay.
No, mate, we're better than Jack Black. No, I don't know if I mean that. Yeah, we are. Fucking too right. We're better than everyone. We're better than all of you. other podcasts. No, I just love Jack Black a lot, and I'd really like to hear him on our podcast.
No, it's not going to work. Do you know who I was going to... I was going to go for Dave Grohl. I think he'd do it. Well, would he do a better job? Does he know anything about games?
Probably.
See, I think Dave Grohl is equally like a nice guy. You know, Dave Grohl's nearly as nice as me.
I bet he's played on his Switch.
He's got kids.
Yeah, but he's a really nice like family guy, like, isn't he? Like, I reckon he's played Mario Kart and Super Mario Brothers on the Switch with his kids.
I mean, it's difficult because I'm assuming these people currently have done nothing wrong.
I'll text him.
Like, they, you know, they're not in trouble. So I was going to also say Jason Bateman for me. But, like, has he done something wrong? He's probably done something wrong by now, and he can't be still...
No, I think he's...
is he all right?
He's not been touched by the... I won't say it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, don't say
he's,
it.
He's all good. Did he win a Golden Globe for Ozark?
I don't know, mate. That doesn't mean he's all right, though, does it?
No.
I'm going to go with Bateman. I'm going to go with Bateman for me, I think, because I just think Dave Grohl... I'm going to stick with Dave Grohl because I think even if he did a good job, he'd get fed up real quick and want to go back to the rock and roll lifestyle of looking after his kids and writing songs. Again, similar lifestyle to me, just with games not as much as involved in it. Whereas Bateman, I just think he actually might be a really good presenter. He's an actual actor, so... Mm. So is Jack Black, though. So far we've got... Do you know what, though? We've got Jack Black and Dave Grohl so far.
Oh, what
Adam.
A team.
Well, I'm going to throw this into the mix because this
Please
man
be
does
the guy
not...
from Queens of the Stone Age.
This
Please
man
Josh
doesn't play much games, but I'm sure he'd make good stories about it, but I would like to hear Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
The wrestler.
The wrestler.
Yeah.
He has a podcast as it is.
He has a podcast, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's just funny listening to him talk all the time.
Yeah.
He's just
got to do your role on this podcast.
Yeah. And I will listen every week.
So we've got a next week's episode featuring Dave Grohl presenting Jack Black and Steve Austin.
That'd be amazing. I mean, yeah. What a podcast.
I'd listen.
I got another confession to make. Bloodborne shit. But it's not shit, and that's the bottom line. Because Storm said so. Hi, I'm Jack Black. I do funny voices. Yeah,
I see. I was going for "Fuck You, Fuck It Gently." That song. That's what I was going to start singing. And I thought maybe I'll keep my career for another year. Just not. Can you like that song?
Yes.
Whatever. Adam Carroll. What is the worst Valentine's gift you've ever given or received? No one's going to answer this, Thomas, because this is just like dropping yourself in it. But
the worst I've ever received. Ever fuck it, yeah. I used to be I used to watch the OC quite a lot back in the day. Still do, to be honest. Okay. I have all four seasons on DVD and I watch them yearly. Take that. But anyway, if you know that show, do you know Summer, what's her name? Rachel Bilson.
Oh yeah.
Rachel Bilson, right? I would have been very attracted to that woman growing up. I thought she was gorgeous, and it was just one of those people I was like, you're lovely. And a particular, like this girl I was going up with at the time, it came around to Valentine's Day, and I was given basically a magazine as part, and I was like, well, what the fuck is this? And I was looking at it, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? It was just like a woman's magazine. But I was given it because there was a 4-page interview with Rachel Bilson.
Oh.
And I was just like,
that's very sweet.
Well, sweet?
Yeah. Someone gave you that?
Yeah, but like,
what's wrong with that?
It's the thought that counts, Adam.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, fucking make me feel terrible.
Yeah, you shit. You
horrible bastard.
Ah, oh, pricks about you.
I don't think we should even answer that question, Chris, you and I.
No. You're a disgrace. You're letting me down.
I've never received a bad Valentine's gift.
Oh, shut up. You have. You have.
I actually
Everyone.
Haven't.
Everyone
all right,
has.
All right, let me rephrase it. I have never received a bad Valentine's gift that I can say on this podcast.
That's bullshit, because it's being asked, you answer. Dig your grave.
Don't care. Can you say these, Chris, in an authentic Geordie accent? Oh, guess who this is from?
God's
the
sake.
Man trying to get us canceled.
Oh my god, these things.
Lads.
Okay.
Lads.
Let's not start that again. Listen, this is the last question. Let's get out of here. Get the chip pan on, pet, and proper clamming for me bait.
Get the chip pan on, pet.
No, Adam, Geordie this
Why
week, not Liverpudlian.
I don't know. It's the only place I can go.
I think the only way I can do this is, listen, I'm going to have to add something to this, okay? Why I can you... Hang on a minute. Why I get
Why
the chip pan on, pet, and proper clamming for me bait. That's gone Scottish, I think, at the end there.
You
again.
See, like, this is the thing.
Get the like, chip pan on, pet, and proper clamming for me bait.
Good one. That's a good one.
That was good, yeah.
You can see the next one. Hang on, I'm going to have to do it again every time. Why, aye, I'm proper begging. Can he be bothered gandun to tune?
Oh, what does that even mean? What Doesn't does the matter. Second part of that mean?
I can't be bothered going to town.
I cannot be bothered going to town. To the town. Like, to the tune. Like, why? Why is this happening?
Come on, someone do it. Next one. Well, that one.
I just said to him, he's a snout, mate. And he went mental. He was going to proper rage.
You're really decent at this.
Did you do the second one? You might as well do that while you're here.
I'm proper peggered. I can't even be bothered going to tune.
Adam, are you going to have a go?
I'm not doing this. We're going to be here all night long. You know what happens. My voice goes high and I start laughing. I can't do it.
Please. But it's funny.
Oh, he even said please.
Please.
What?
Do you know what? The Liverpool thing last week made my day. And it really brightened me up.
Stop trying to guilt me
really
to this,
like you to,
Christoph.
You've already showed with your last question that you're a bit of a dick. So I think this is a chance for you to redeem yourself.
Oh, what, by mocking Geordies, is it?
No, not mocking them, paying homage.
Well, I'm doing him a disservice by doing this accent.
But it's funny.
If you hear the way I go up, because my voice just, it's like someone grabs two little fucking tweezers and touches my little ball bag with it, and I just go shooting up high with my voice.
Oh, come on. Just one attempt. That's all I ask. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. We can move on.
What's peggered? Peggered?
Is that it? Pissed.
What?
I think it
I'm proper
drunk.
Peggered. Can he be bothered again to do tune? Like, that sounds insane.
But
that sounds like me trying to speak after a lash of Ken's.
That's the vernacular. You can't help it. Like, it's like every other part of the UK has things they say there. Like, we say, hey, up me duck.
What the hell is that?
Hello, my friend.
Ah, for God's sake, I'm giving up on everything.
Okay, I'll do the last one, my best I can. I'm going to switch it up a bit this time.
Mm-hmm.
How we bit? I just said to him, "Give us snout, mate." No, hang on. Why I? I just said to him, "Give us snout, mate." And he went, I just got Scottish again. You know what I'm gonna do in Birmingham? I just said to him, "Mate, give us a snout," and he went mental. He was proper gonna rage. Okay, end of the podcast. Oh, right, dear. That's it. Finished. It's done. Okay, you happy? We've been cancelled. Chris, Adam, thank you very much for being here this week. Thanks for sharing your dreams with our listeners. And with me, of course. Thank you, lads.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Adam, thanks for being a coward and not attempting the accents properly. Oh, I did a shit, but I still tried.
Fucking assholes.
Chris, thank you very much for changing your name to Christophe. And everyone else, we will see you next week. Or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.